the power that there is in learning to be a thankful people. So Philemon chapter 1, verses 1 down through 7. Of course, there's only one chapter. It says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Epaphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and towards all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. So I want you to note, when we start in verse 4, what does he say? Let's say those first four words together. Ready? I thank my God. Thankfulness is very much a part of being a Christian. In fact, actually, the Bible teaches us that the act of being thankful is the will of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So when you have a heart of thankfulness, and when you share thankfulness, and when you thank God for all that he has done and given you in your life, and the provisions of our nation and the safety he's given us, as we talk about that thanksgiving, you are actually fulfilling the will of God in your life. So it's important for us to really understand thankfulness as a Christian. So there are three things I want you to see in our text. Verses 4, 5, 6, and 7, those verses contain three things that I want you to see. The first one that I want you to see is that thankfulness empowers our prayer life. You see that in verses 4 and 5. He talks about his prayer life and he connects it to thankfulness. And we see how that by being thankful, it makes our prayer life stronger. Look again with me at verses 4 and 5. He says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and towards all saints. So when we look at this thankfulness and it's empowering in our prayer life, we see that it is a very personal part of who we are. He's personally thanking God for these fellow believers. That's what he says in verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. We learn to look at those who are part of our lives and to say, thank you, Lord. And that makes our prayer life stronger. For you to start your day and say, thank you, Lord, for my wife or my husband. Thank you, Lord, for my children or my coworkers. Thank you, God, for my parents. Thank you for the boss I have. And none of them may be the easiest person to get along with in the world, but that's not the point. The thing is, you're learning to say, God, thank you for what you've given to me. Thank you for those people you have invested in my life, and I get to invest in their lives. And if we learn to say thank you, then we become less apt to be critical while we're saying thank you, Lord. So it empowers us in our prayer life to learn to discipline ourselves to say thank you for those individuals. But when we widen our scope just a little bit from people, we start to be thankful for those spiritual things and the people around us. And that's what he does in verse 5. He's still expanding his prayer life. He's still having that thankfulness touch his prayer life. But he's not only just thanking him broadly for the people who have touched his life, but when you come to verse 5, he's talking about some intangibles, some spiritual things. Look at what he says in verse 5. Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and towards all saints. When you and I widen that scope and we really start to say, God, thank you. Thank you for the faith my fellow believers have. Thank you for the faith my wife or my husband has. Thank you, Lord, for the faith I see beginning to blossom in my children or my parents or my coworker who I've been sharing my faith with. And you start to watch and notice the sprouting and the growing of faith in other people. And you start saying to God, thank you for that, Lord. Then you embrace it and appreciate it all that much more. But he not only talks about faith, he also talks about love. He says, God, I thank you for the love in those other people. You know, oftentimes we take for granted the love that people have towards us. Whether it be the love of a spouse or the love of children for their parents or parents for their children, or even the love of a good friend, a relative, somebody who cares about us like a church member. We take those things for granted, and if we're not careful, we forget about how important they are in our lives. But here, you find the apostle saying, he says, I think about you and I pray for you. But in that, I thank God for your faith and I thank God for your love. This week, as we had a couple different folks go in for surgery, Vicki Vanderway went in for surgery on her knee, and Diane Brown went in for surgery, for hernia surgery. And our ladies in the church, they rallied around, made some meals, sent some meals out there. That's an expression of love, isn't it? Brother Louis Ram, he lost his brother, Bobby, passed away this week. And I know that a number of you have been praying for them. I called Louis this week and said, just calling to find out how you're doing. Why? Because we love them. It's part of Christian fellowship. It's part of brotherly concern to love one another in our faith. It's important for us to exercise it, but it's also important for us to appreciate it. You know, you often hear people say that maybe they haven't heard their parents say, I love you. Or they haven't heard their spouse say, I love you. You and I need to exercise that. We need to say, I love you. Now, maybe you feel like that's just words, but they're words that need to be heard. Amen? And so when we look at this text here, he says to them, he says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and towards all saints. We need to love the brethren. Brothers and sisters in Christ, not only who are right here, but around the world. There are many people who need your prayers, who need to know you love them. It's why we do missions. We support about 40 missions projects around the world because we love our Lord Jesus Christ and we want to see people come to salvation. It strengthens our prayer life. When we begin to learn to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the people in my life. Thank you for their love. And thank you for their faith. As we come a little bit farther down in the text, look with me at verse 6. And I want you to see the second point that we notice in this as the apostle talks about praying for these people. We find that prayer, thankful prayer, it empowers our faith as well. Look with me at verse 6. He says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. When we start to look at verse 6 and we talk about how that this attitude of thankfulness, this expression of thankfulness, how it empowers us, verse 6 is key to that. There's some definitions that need to be made, though, because when you look at verse 6, there's some old words there, words that we don't normally use. And there's some large words that we don't normally use. And it's important for us to look at them and understand them. The word communication in that verse, when you look at verse 6, where he says that the communication of thy faith, that word communication today means really largely the expression of words, speech, speak, typing, writing, texting, communicating. But actually in 1611, when that word was used to communicate, it's a much broader word. It actually means for you and I to express our whole life. In fact, the definition of it is social intercourse. It's the interacting in all social manners. So it's the way you talk, it's the way you walk, it's the way you behave, it's the way you interact with other people. Everyday living. So what he's saying here, he's saying that the communication, the complete expression of your life of the faith. So we understand when we hear communication in this verse, it's not just about talking. It's about living. When we come down to the word effectual, that word effectual means effective energy or empowerment. In fact, it's part of where we got the title of the message, how that being thankful empowers us. It empowers us in our prayer life. It empowers us in our faith life. And here he's saying to us that the communication of thy faith may become effectual, energized with power in our lives. You and I, when we are thankful, it affects the way we live our life and it empowers us in our faith. But I want you to also look in that verse and I want you to notice the word acknowledging. I think most of us understand what it is to acknowledge something, but I don't think we often step back and really consider what that means. To acknowledge something is to understand it, recognize it, and accept it. I acknowledge this. And so when you look at that and you understand the meaning and the weight of that word, you look into this text and you really get that verse 6 is talking to you and I about becoming empowered in our faith life. Thankfulness empowers us. It empowers us to communicate, to live our faith in a very real and practical way. In fact, it's the expression, the outward expression of what happened to us internally when we received Christ. When we receive Christ as our Savior, the Bible teaches us we are born again. In fact, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. He's talking about you and I becoming a new creature in Christ. That's why Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Nicodemus said, how's that possible? I can't go back into my mother's womb. He said, no. Everybody's born once of the water, but you have to be born spiritually. So when we receive Christ as our Savior, it changes us. The Bible says old things passed away. All things became new. Christ called it being born again. All of a sudden, our lives communicate our faith. And when we are thankful Christians, when we are thankful people, it empowers that communication. It empowers the expression of our faith in our daily lives. When you come down a little farther in the text and we look at that idea of being energized or being effectual in our faith, we understand that when we're thankful, it starves to death that ingratitude. It starves to death that selfishness. It starves to death that self-centeredness. When we learn to be thankful, we begin to look at things in an altogether different way. Thankfulness empowers us in our faith life. We begin to see God at work instead of looking for ways where He's not working. We get up and we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for blessing me today that I made it to work without an incident. No flat tires. No accidents. No road rage. Whatever the problem is in your neighborhood. It's kind of like I've told you before. I get up in the morning and one of the first things I do is I look out my back window and my cows are pastured right in the back there. And when I'm getting my coffee made or making my bowl of cereal, I glance out the window to make sure those cows are there. And I say, thank you, Lord. Because I know if they're not there, I've got to go find them. And that has only happened a couple times, and I thank God that I don't have to do that very often. Because when you got to go find them, corral them, get them back, it is a pain. And it's a real interruption of your day. So I look out there, I say, thank you, Lord. And I'm sincere. When we look at the things in our lives and we learn to be thankful for our job, thankful for our health, thankful for the car we have, thankful for all the things that touch our lives, it empowers our faith life because we learn to notice His hand at work. You know, the scriptures tell us often to look. For us to notice God at work. It empowers our faith life. I want you to look at the third part of our text this morning as we come down. We're going to look at verse 7. It says, "For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother." Here we see that thankfulness empowers our emotional life, our person. And our person matters too. Yes, our prayer life's important. Yes, our faith life is important. But that emotional person that rests within you, that thing that drives you day by day to be happy or sad, to experience joy or sorrow, that part of you is an important part of you as well. And you have to work with that part of you. You've got to allow God to nurture and help you to go ahead and enjoy the life that you have. It's a sad thing that so many people think Christians walk around sucking on a sour pickle every day. That should not be who we are as Christians. It should not be that we are the moaninest, groaninest, gripinest people on earth. That should not be. For you and I as Christians, it should be that we have a joy unspeakable, full of glory, as it said. It should be that there is a peace that passeth understanding in our lives. It should be that we learn to care for that emotional part of our lives that God touches and helps throughout our lives. So when you look at verse 7, listen to what he says. Because I want you to see how that the thankfulness of verse 4, as it flows down to verse 7, it empowers our personal life. Listen to what he says again. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by you, brother. He is talking about the emotional part of God at work in us. And the first thing he talks about here is that joy, experiencing great joy. Psalm chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, it says, "Thou hast put gladness in my heart. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep." You see, gladness in our heart, a gift from God that gives us peace and lets us have rest. What a gift from the Lord. That we're not full of anxiety and fear, but instead we find in Him rest and peace. That we're not anguishing and wringing our hands all the time, but instead we, by faith, are resting in Him. He brings us that emotional joy, that deep part of faith at work in your inner man. He says, we have great joy. Then he goes on and he talks about consolation. The word consolation is simply comfort. He's saying we receive comfort from God. When we learn to be a thankful people, we find comfort in that. There's comfort in knowing that God provides for you. There's comfort in knowing that God has provided the food that's on your table. It doesn't all rest on you. God is at work. There's comfort in knowing that God has brought this person into your life who is your spouse. There's comfort in knowing that He will go through the good times and the bad times with you in working through that relationship if you will allow Him to do it. There's comfort in knowing that as you raise those boys and girls who start out as such a cute bundle of joy, and before you know it, they slide right into the terrible twos, and you're wondering, what happened? And just about the time you pass those terrible twos, you begin to hit those toddler years where you have to move everything and put it up just to protect the house. You wonder, where did that little bundle of joy, that little sweetness with the smiley faces, what happened? About the time you get past the toddler stage, you hit that preteen thing where you can't even get them to take a shower. You wonder, what has rotted in the fridge? You know, what is going on? Then all of a sudden they hit the teens and you wonder, what happened to my electric bill? I can't get them out of the shower. All those things going on. And they begin to become young adults and they begin to express their independence. And mom and dad are wondering now, what do we do with this? How do we deal with this? How do we work with them? We've got to prepare them to launch. But at 15, they're not ready to launch, but they think they are. There's great comfort in knowing, God, thank you for these children. You've given them to me. You've entrusted me to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Thank you, God, for the privilege and the opportunity. And Lord, please help me to do the best job I can. There's great comfort in knowing God is there. As we face difficulties and troubles on our job or in our nation, learning to be thankful for God's hand at work brings comfort to us to know He is there. But then when you look at the last one, he talks about experiencing great refreshing. Look with me at verse 7 again. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, my brother. That refreshing, that renewing, that revival that comes from the Lord, that comes by you and I thanking God for one another, by you and I interacting with one another and being grateful for God connecting us to one another. He says, you know what, Lord? It refreshes my soul. Each and every one of us, every day, we need that renewing in our Christian walk. When you find yourself in sin, it's important for you to take that time to come before God and say, God, forgive me, and know that He is faithful and just to forgive. It's important for you to take time to find your daily devotional. These start in December. So we'll be giving these out next Sunday. But you find these little daily devotionals and you start each day and you say, thank you, Lord. I need to be refreshed. I need to be renewed. You take your Bible and you enjoy some time for Him to feed your soul with the milk of the Word and then the meat of the Word, that you might be refreshed and renewed. The Bible gives to us so much truth that helps shape us and form us, that we might be the person that God would have us to be and the person we desire to be. We don't desire to be the grumblingest, gripingest person in the neighborhood, do we really? Oh, please tell me nobody's thinking I do. I want to be just a griper. That's not what we want. We want to be a people who are thankful, joyful, refreshed, renewed, empowered in our Christian lives. Well, part of that all begins by that new creation. Coming to Christ, accepting Him into our hearts and our lives, that He might make us anew, be born again, as Christ says. We see ourselves as a sinner and we repent of it and say, God, forgive me, for I am a sinner. Come into my heart and into my life and change me. Put your faith and trust in Him for eternal life. But then as a Christian, we exercise the skill of being thankful. Let that empower us. This week, as we go into Thanksgiving week, Sandy and I were talking about how it grieves us to hear people say, Happy Turkey Day. What in the world is Turkey Day? Turkey Day. When you read about the pilgrims, when they had that great Thanksgiving feast, turkey was only a little part of it. I mean, they talk about clams, fish. We know they had lobster from the history of it. Turkey was a small part of it. It's not Turkey Day. The center of the day was Thanksgiving. Giving thanks. It wasn't given thanks to the deer and the turkey. Wasn't given thanks to the clam or the lobster. It was given thanks to God who provided all those things. So when somebody says to you this week, Happy Turkey Day, you look right at them and say, Happy Thanksgiving. Amen. You and I are the salt of the earth, the light upon the hilltop. If we give in to everything, you will never get from our office a note that says Xmas. That will never come out of the office as long as I'm here. We're not Xing Jesus out of Christmas. And we're not Xing thanks out of Thanksgiving. We are people who believe in these values, embrace them, and exercise them in our lives. Thanksgiving empowers us as a person. Learn, exercise, practice giving thanks. Let's bow our heads as we come to the end of the service. As your head is bowed and as you look in your heart, I simply ask you, have you started where it all begins? By receiving Christ as your Savior? Have you been willing to turn from your sins and humble yourself before God and say, yes, Lord, I am a sinner, and I accept you as the Savior?